Are we blinded to the Bible, or are we blinded by the Bible? In 1984, Garland Elkins traveled to Chicago, Illinois, and taped the Donahue talk show. At that time, Brother Elkins was defending the truth against the attacks of the world, and on this particular occasion, elders in a local congregation in Oklahoma were being sued because they withdrew from an erring member of the church. And Donahue manipulated the audience on several occasions, ridiculing the church, ridiculing the Lord who bought the church. And Brother Elkins repeatedly quoted Scripture in his defense of the elders' actions. Over and over, Donahue would make sly comments about the quoting of the Bible. We were fortunate enough to be able to watch that particular video while I was in preaching school. But what caught my attention was at the conclusion of the program, a woman in the audience stood and made the following summarizing statement about Brother Elkins' defense. She simply said, "These folks are blinded by the Bible." Now, the woman meant the comment in derision because of the number of passages cited by Brother Elkins, but really, in her comment, what she meant to be degrading, she was actually paying him and us as Christians a high compliment. Brother Elkins did an excellent job as he defended what the Bible said about church discipline. And one thing was apparent. The woman in the audience was aware that we depended upon the Bible. Now, friends, the Bible has much to say about blindness and being blind. Jesus pointed that out. In Matthew 15 and verse 14, he spoke of religious leaders who were blind. He said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Now, friends, this rebuke was uttered in the context of the Pharisees who placed their traditions on the level and even elevated them above the Word of God. And in this case, Jesus said it was possible to be blind spiritually and to lead others away into that same blindness. On another occasion, Jesus again rebuked the Pharisees, calling them blind. In Matthew 23, 25 through 26, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee," he said, "cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." In fact, here five times in that particular discourse, Jesus called them blind. He was driving that point home. And when Jesus spoke and explained the parable of the sower, again in Matthew chapter 13. He pointed why these were blind. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Friends, they were not blind. Because they had been predestined to be blind, or because they had not received their direct operation of the Holy Spirit, as some even erring brethren contend, but they were blind because they had closed their own spiritual eyes. Peter spoke of those who had not been diligent in adding to their initial faith, calling them blind. Peter wrote, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Friends, these had closed their eyes in his day, much as those had chosen to close their eyes in Jesus' day. We read that in 2 Peter 1, verse 9. Paul revealed the source of that blindness. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, we read, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You see, friends, through his deceit, his deception, his craftiness and guile, Satan had caused the gospel to be hidden from the blind. Those who were blind spiritually had chosen to allow the gospel to be hidden due to the devil's trickery. And friends, there are those today who choose to allow Satan to blind them to the gospel. The woman who made the statement in Chicago thought she was slandering members of the Lord's church, but in truth, she paid us a high compliment. The truth is, the devil blinds us to the gospel, but we are blinded from the world by the gospel. So number one this evening, as we enter the study, are you blinded to the Bible? Satan has many agencies which he uses to blind people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. People allow themselves to be blinded by such. Satan uses the pleasures, the power, and prosperity of this world in an effort to cause many to turn their eyes from the God of heaven to the God of this world. Satan has been very successful in creating a generation to thinking only of themselves. He's created the people who do not care about others, but rather are only thinking of number one. Their main aim, their main focus is to have money, money, and more money. They want what they want, when they want it, and the way they want it. And teaching this people to say, I deserve it, or it's not fair that I don't have it. Friends, their minds have been molded, the minds of young people have been molded, and old have been molded to have a disregard for authority in general, and God in particular. We look at the world around us today, and Sundays, for a lot of folks, have become nothing more than a day of rest and recreation. And do not want God and His people cramping their style, so to speak, on that day. Members of the church often fall into that trap for some reason that since they must work hard Monday through Saturday to pay for all their, quote, toys, they have a right to rest and relax on Sunday and neglect worshiping our Lord and our Savior. But then also, Satan uses family, friends, and foes to blind folks to the Bible. You know, family ties run deep. And often, those family ties are never broken. Many people are lost because they will not cut ties with family. Many people are lost and are going to be eternally separated from God because they allowed their family ties to override God's Word. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 37. Matthew 10 and verse 37. Jesus simply made the statement, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Friends, we cannot fall into the trap of placing our family, our physical family, above that of God. Jesus and God take first in our lives. If we place our family and their interest above God's, friends, we're not worthy to be followers of God. A couple of chapters later, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12:48-50. Friends, when our physical families are not members of the Lord's church, we often become closer to our brethren in the Lord than we do our earthly families. This is because we have more in common with our brethren than with our families. And when we place our earthly families above the Lord, however, we cease to be disciples of the Lord. What about our friends? What about the people that we surround ourselves with? You know, our friends can cause us to be blinded too, can't they? Sometimes we'll overlook things which should not be overlooked if we're not careful. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, in the immediate context here, Paul is warning against the false teaching concerning the resurrection in Corinth. But the principle is eternal here. We had better be careful who our friends are and what influence they're having upon our minds. Because if Satan can do it, he's going to use them. If they allow themselves to be used in that way, we're going to be drugged down. We'd also better be warned concerning our children's friends. As parents, we need to know who their friends are, where they are, when they're not with us. Friends, sadly, negligent parents often reap the whirlwind of destruction and despair because they do not keep watch concerning their children. What about our foes? Our foes can cause us to become unbalanced if we're not careful. We can ride, quote, hobby horses on issues. We can fail to do good things which can cost us our souls, blinding us to our responsibilities. Our foes can also cause us to become afraid to speak out, blinding us from our duty as a watchman on the wall, so to speak. Friends, we need to be speaking out against the error being taught from pulpits in our brotherhood. We need to be speaking out against schools which are turning out liberals upon liberals. If we fail to speak, we're allowing Satan, friends, to blind us to the gospel charge. Romans 16, 17, and 18. Where Paul writes to the Romans, "There now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Why? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So, friends, are we blinded to the Bible? Number two, let's ask the question, are we blinded by the Bible? Is there a sense in which we are blinded by the Bible? Absolutely. There is a sense in which those who read, heed, and obey the Bible are blinded from certain things. By studying God's Word, friends, we can become blinded by the Bible to atheism. The very first verse will blind us to this error if we believe it. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now friends, either God did it or He didn't. If we believe God created the world, this eliminates the other. And so the evidence is credible and clear that God did create the entire world in 6 literal days. Therefore, for one to believe this is blinded to the doctrines of atheism and humanism. In Exodus chapter 20, again, there we see an allusion to the creation. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Verse 11. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6, again we read, "Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 90 and verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." Friends, if we believe the Bible, we're going to be blinded by it to atheism and humanism. Friends, we are blinded by the Bible to the error of denominationalism. The Bible teaches that the Church of Christ was the eternal purpose of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and I want you to read with me verses 8 through 11. Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. Paul writes, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Notice this, verse 11. "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, the Lord's church was eternally purposed. In the church we should see the manifold wisdom of God. Also, we see the eternal purpose of God. Friends, if it was God's eternal purpose to establish one church, why then does any member of the church have a problem with saying there's just the one church that God established? There's only one. In fact, any member who has a problem with that particular idea needs to be converted again, as Peter would say. As if he or she was ever converted to begin with. By studying the Old Testament, friends, one begins to quickly see the fact that God promised a Savior. Genesis 3 and verse 15. First prophecy there of a coming Savior. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, He promises that all families of the earth were going to be blessed through Abraham's line. That culminated in Jesus Christ dying upon the cross, rising again the third day. And so we are all able to be one in Him. In 2 Samuel 7, 11 through 15, God promised there to build a kingdom through the line of David. And friends, He also promised deliverance in Jerusalem in the last days, Joel 2, 28 to 32. Peter nearly quoted that particular passage on Pentecost. God promised also to build His house in Jerusalem, and that from there, His law would go to all nations, Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. Through the prophet Daniel, God promised this would come in the days of the Roman kings, Daniel 2, 44 and 45. And friends, we read Acts chapter 2. When we read that, we read the fulfillment of all this prophecy which happened at one time. For anyone to assert the idea that God is pleased with even two churches is to insult the very nature of God. If God said one, did He mean two? Reading and understanding the Bible, friends, is going to blind me to the idea of denominationalism and that it could be right in any sense. Number three, we are blinded by the Bible to the idea of not marking false teachers. The Bible commands us to mark them and avoid them. We've already read Romans 16, 17, and 18. John tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 1 that we are to try the spirits, that is, those that would teach. John states there, believe, or beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. In Revelation 2 and verse 2, Ephesus was commended by God for trying those spirits. Jesus said, there I know thy work. And thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Friends, if we believe the Bible, and we want to do what it says, we must mark those that walk contrary to God's word. Then finally, we read and we study our Bibles, friends, we are going to be blinded by the Bible to the pull and pressure of following the world. We're told in the Bible of the love of God. There can be no doubt of that. One of the favorite verses to be quoted by anyone is John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. In Romans 5 and verse 8, we read, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The apostle whom Jesus loved, John, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, John wrote, we love Him, why? Because He first loved us. And He showed His love for us when He came to this earth and He died upon the cross. And we're told in the Bible of that sacrifice that He made in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Paul wrote to the Philippians there, who being in the form of God, speaking of Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The friends were also warned against following the world. We're told in the Bible the love of Jesus, but we're warned also against following the world. We are told if we love the world, friends, we cannot love God. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, James writes, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" Friends, we cannot be friends of the world and also friends of God. It can't happen. We have a choice to make. Just as Joshua placed that choice before his people, just before he died. Whom will we serve? Who's going to be our friend, so to speak? He said, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James 4 and verse 4. And then we see 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Don't miss what John's saying here. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Friends, if we read, we study, and we believe God's Word, we believe the Bible, we're going to be blinded to the pull of the world. These facts and warnings, friends, they ought to blind us to those things. They ought to blind us to looking at the world with eager eyes. We need to always understand that the world is lost, and if we desire to be saved, we must avoid its temptations. And God's Word, the Bible, is going to blind us to those pulls. Put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. The woman who made that statement some 28 years ago, she really did not understand the great compliment that she paid to faithful members of the Lord's church. Friends, may we always read and apply our Bibles to our lives so that we can remain blinded by its principles and precepts to Satan and his allurements. May we have the courage and compassion to apply its healing salve, so to speak, to those who will listen and open their eyes. Friend, are you here tonight, up until this point, having been blinded to the Bible? Friend, would you open your eyes this evening and obey the gospel, the saving message of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He came to this earth, that He bled and died for your sins? If so, why not obey Him tonight? Why not repent of sin? Confess Him before men and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Would you do so tonight? Friend, are you here having done so? Have you been blinded to the Bible once more and gone back into the world? Friend, would you come home? Be a friend of God again rather than an enemy. Come back to what you know is true. Friend, if you have a need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?